Praise Yahweh, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight. Got a great program. Want you to call a friend and a neighbor and tell them that the Shepherd's Call is live tonight on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel on the transmitting Jewel of the South. Glad to have you in here. We are going to start tonight a new program. We've been in the Far Above Ruby series that we just finished up tonight. We want to stay with the theme, and we want to move over to what we would describe as the elders in the assembly, the presbyters, an elder, someone that is in a charge or leadership position of the ecclesia, the gathering. Now, there is basically seven things that would exemplify qualification for an elder. Number one, an elder should be mature. He should be gentle. He should be understanding. He should be full of the Holy Spirit. And usually elders are more than one person. According to Luke 15:25, he sent the elders of the body out two by two. And it should be someone, like I say, mature, as in Acts 2:17 and Hebrews 11:2. Now, it should be that they should learn well their jobs, or they should be associated with the forefathers in Israel, Matthew 15:2 and Mark 7:3. They should be proven members of the body, tried and tested, and that's what makes a good elder. Someone that has passed these tests has also managed the affairs in their own families very well, and they're looked to for their wisdom and knowledge, according to Luke, again, chapter 7:3. Now, the heads of the, or the leaders of the tribes of the families, are assisting the ecclesia in conducting the business, and they make the final decision on all decisions. Just like a good woman, a good elder has to be a man of the appointed office, from those who have laid hands on the elders. Elders are appointed by the laying on of hands. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, and 2 Timothy 1 and 6. Now, an elder should, in regarding his office, he should receive double honor in the assembly, according to 1 Timothy 5:17. The pastor is an elder who preaches or teaches, according to 1 Timothy 5:17. The pastor, or the elder, is to equip the body of the Messiah, according to Ephesians 4:11 and 12 and 13. And according to Titus chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, an elder must be a man. All uses of elder were in the masculine, except in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 2, where it means older women that are to teach the younger at home. And so the pastor being an elder and the elders being teachers or instructors, it not necessarily means that all elders are pastors. Pastor is just a specific title applied to what is known as the shepherd. And that's the responsibility for the gift and calling. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, he must shepherd the flock. And he must voluntarily exercise oversight upon the flock. Again, 1 Peter 5 and 2. Now remember, I done told you that the elders must be more than one. So you have an appointed elders to rule in the house, and they're to receive double honor as they are divinely appointed through qualification and through conducting the inquest. In other words, if somebody joins the group, the elders are to examine those that come in and see if they are qualified. Now, the pastor is an elder, like I said, in 1 Timothy 5:17, and they are to be males, according to Titus 1, verse 5 and 6. They must live as examples to the flock. Now, an example to the flock, according to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3. They must anoint and pray for the sick. James 5:14. They are charged with the task of teaching through example. Titus chapter 1, verse 5 and 9. They have task of judging in the assembly according to Acts 15 and 2. And in Acts 6, 22, 29, and 16 and 4. They should be above reproach, according to 1 Timothy 3 and 2. They should be husbands, or they should have families to improve their example of leadership, or be closely associated with families. Your family could be those of the household of faith. Now, let me show you what Paul says. Now, I beseech you, brethren, this is in Romans, and it's the 16th chapter, beginning to end the 16th chapter of the book of Romans. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. And so the elders should avoid the unnecessary rumor mongering and things of this nature, or disputes that are coming from outside the assembly. The assembly should keep its self-control. and they should be very honorable, as it is recorded in Titus 1 and 7. And they should gain good reputations, according to 1 Timothy 3 and 7. And they must not be addicted to wine, have weaknesses that they could air or sell out, or give the assembly a bad name. They should not be greedy, according to 1 Timothy, again, chapter 3, verse 3. And here, as Paul is admonishing the assembly, they are to exhort or teach sound doctrine, as again in Titus 1 and verse 9. Now, mark them which cause division. See, elder is to mark those that cause divisions and make a note, both mental, spiritual, and in discussion in the meetings that the elders have. The elders are to have meetings to discuss business that would come before the assembly, so that in the worship assembly, the business should always be conducted in advance, so that then the elders could give a report to the assembly. Mark them which cause offenses contrary to the doctrine that you have learned, and avoid them, for they are such that serve not our Messiah. They don't have a love for the assembly. They only love themselves, or they love to gossip or wonder or bicker or argue or debate. But these are they that serve their own bellies. Some people just come to eat, some to gawk, and some to gossip, and some to just have a place to go. But the elders are to teach the assembly and avoid those which cause these type of disturbances or divisions, and they are to teach sound doctrine and refute false teaching. So they should be able to know false teaching when it comes in. And according to Acts chapter 20, verse 17, they must be always ready to have an answer concerning their faith. For these are they that serve not our Messiah, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. So the elders have a enormous responsibility. Therefore, these that watch on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. So then, let the power to establish according to the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept secret since the world begun, but is now made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, teaching the great mysteries out of the knowledge of those who are qualified to teach according to the obedience of the faith. Now, let's go over to 1 Corinthians and see just exactly what Yahweh talks about with wisdoms that are in the assembly by the elders who rule well. Now, let me show you how they rule. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Now, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. And will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not Yahweh made foolish the wisdom of this world?
For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, this is a great mystery. This is where the knowledge of the elders come in. How to discern, how to establish, and how to teach sound doctrine. For those of the house of Yehuda require a sign, and those of the house of Israel seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified unto Yehuda a stumbling block, and unto the house of Israel a foolishness. But unto them which are called, both of the house of Yehuda and the house of Israel, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For you see your calling, brethren. Here's the key to choosing wise master builders, elders. And you know, I have always been blessed with elders of discretion and wisdom, not man's wisdom, because, you see, most churches are only interested in growing bigger assemblies and making money and treasuring, building and stuff like this, and expanding. They think that's success. But listen what it says. For you see your calling, brethren, now I'm talking about elders, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, and not many noble are called into the assembly for eldership. But God, here's what he's done, hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Now remember, mark those that cause division. Things that seem right to the world and would normally be brought in unless you have wise master builders and men that know the plan of Yahweh. Otherwise, we fall victim to the carnal, which the carnal mind is not subject to Yahweh, but the carnal mind is given to most people in the assemblies. And unless you've got spiritual men to guide you, they will fall victim to all of the things that most of the assemblies fall victim to. For God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to know that we pass from death into life. But Yahweh has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. It's just directly opposite. And base things, that's the low things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things which are. That's amazing. This is one of the greatest mysteries. And if men have wisdom, if they understand, if they have any acknowledgement of the faith and the truth, then they know that Yahweh has chosen the base things of the world which are despised. And so wise master builders or wise elders to have a successful spiritual assembly. Now, I'm talking about spiritual things that are considered to be foolish. For instance, the lunar Sabbath. Not many elders would consider a different calendar than what the world uses. The world uses the calendar of the world. The calendar of the calendar of the Roman Catholic calendar. The Saturday-Sunday calendar. And most people who believe that the seventh day is on Saturday would laugh at you if you tried to teach him the foolishness of the lunar Sabbath. They can't grab it. Simply because Yahweh chose the most ridiculous timepiece in the world, and actually it's only one, otherwise it's artificial. Yahweh didn't choose artificial things. He chose the foolish things. Now, it's foolish to go by the lunar. But according to the history of the Bible, Yahweh has always demanded that man look up to his calendar, which is for signs and seasons or moads. In Genesis 1:14. Foolishness, ain't it? Because the Greeks, the wisdom of the world, have sought to change times and laws. And by doing so, they have taken the simplicity or the base things or the natural things and converted it into the things of the world. And Yahweh would not that you would have that kind of a mindset. He wants you to choose the things which are foolish. And when I said that I've been very fortunate for elders to set when they hear the gospel and judge not according to its wisdom, but according to its foolishness. When someone, I say, like a prophet or a revelator of the word or a teacher of the word, comes in and preaches the foolishness, and it's accepted by the elders, that's marvelous. Because most of the elders would reject foolishness and opt out for wisdom or things that seem right. And the Bible says, there is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is death. And from such, turn away. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where the elders, I'm just so thankful for elders, that it's foolishness. But to you that are saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Well, I tell you what, Pastor Buddy, I've looked at that old lunar Sabbath that y'all teach, and it is so complicated and so foolish. I just rather get me one of those calendars that you can hang on the wall, and by doing so, you can keep up when Saturday comes and Sunday comes, whichever one. It's okay. Because God wants every day to be a Sabbath. That's a lie. There's only one day in the week, every 6 days, you rest the seventh day. What determines the beginning point of the count? Well, according to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 46, verse 1, it says, the new moons, the gates are to be open. And the Sabbaths, the gates are to be open. Now, if you open the gates on a new moon, that's a dark moon, and then you work 6 days, you'll keep the first quarter. That's foolishness. It's so foolish and so uncommon that Yahweh chose this. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. They do not know. They do not understand. They do not want the truth. They will shun the truth. But the Bible said, avoid them who bring in wisdom to try to put down foolishness. For Yahweh chose the base and the foolish things to confound the world. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Now, what about the altar? Now, we just got through teaching a series on the altar. That's foolishness. especially when all the church world's gone to bellbox altars. And they take it that since all churches use the bellbox altar, don't you know and don't you understand that that's wisdom? If you're smart, you're going to go with the world. If you're intelligent, you're going to seek the bellbox altar as opposed to the altar of Yahweh. You're not going to have a circle altar made of earth and stone. But look at the old foolish prophet Noah. Look what he done as soon as he landed. He didn't go to the bellbox altar. He didn't go to the local church. He built him an altar out of stone and earth. Look at Abraham. What kind of an altar did he build? What kind of an altar did Jacob build? What kind of an altar did Jacob's father Isaac build? What kind of an altar did Elijah build? All of the prophets in the Bible built to foolish altars of a circle with salt on them. And yet today, that's foolishness. You just don't do that. Well, my God, I've never heard of nobody doing that, Pastor Buddy. It says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Yeah, we don't care how smart you are and how appropriate and traditional it seems, because there is a way that seems right to the wisdom of man. But Yahweh didn't choose wisdom. He chose foolish things. So he wanted you to go out and build your circle altar with 12 stones on it. That's a biblical way. And yet it's unpopular. That sounds foolish. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty, the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world which are despised, yea, hath God chosen. Well, they certainly despise the circle altar because they don't get on one. They love the altar of Baal. That's a traditional altar. Every church has got one. Every church has got a set of elders that don't know what they're doing. The wise elders are those who choose foolish things. Boy, it's a paradox, isn't it? Actually opposite of what you should think is right is what is right. And the things that you think are right are wrong, and you should avoid or run from them, and you should gather with a few that seem foolish. I know it seems foolish to go on an altar and stand on it with a bunch of foolish-looking people, acting and doing foolish things, things that you've never seen before. Yeah. It's strange. The base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Now you see why it's important to have learned elders that have received the doctrine, and to avoid those with causing division through wisdom. They come in and say, oh, you don't have to do that. Let's take the Passover, for example. I don't know of an assembly anywhere. I know that there has to be some somewhere. I just don't know of any. Outside the altar and teaching assembly of the house of Yahweh that I attend with the elders, we have a group of elders over us, and they watch for our souls, but they choose the foolish things. They don't take the first Passover, which is going on right now, by the way. These people that would think through their wisdom that the first Passover is the one you should keep do not really know the foolishness that Yahweh had intended, and he hid it from their eyes, and he chose to destroy their wisdom. They think they're still over in Jerusalem and they have a right to keep the first Passover when they've been exiled to a strange or a far country, qualifying them to keep the foolishness of very few people even know about the second Passover, let alone keep it. And when we teach it, it is called strange. My heavens, I never heard of that. I never heard of those that keep the second Passover. Well, why not? Why haven't you heard about those that keep the second Passover? Simply because you're in a church that's teaching wisdom. And we are in a church that teaches foolishness. Well, I never heard of such a foolish thing, Pastor Buddy. If I've had one man to tell me that, I've had maybe 1,000. Well, I never heard of the second Passover. What do you mean, keep the second Passover? And right here, when you start teaching the second Passover, you can tell right then whether or not that person has the unction of the Spirit to follow after the foolish things. The foolish things. An elder or presbyter, an overseer or bishop, shepherd or pastor, a steward, elders. These are all the same thing. These are those who watch for your soul, who are to receive double honor. And the foolisher it is, the better understanding that the spiritual elders have. And the more wisdom that is taught in the churches, the more it seems right because all the world does it. Now, I know brothers in Yahweh's name. They teach Yahweh's name. But they don't teach a single name. They actually teach that the Godhead is divided and it's got two names in it. Therefore, they split your understanding and your loyalty, and it's foolish to believe that there's only one in the Godhead. But let me tell you something. The devil believes it, and he trembles. He believes that there's only one Yahweh and one name. Other assemblies, I'm talking about the house of Yahweh, they're trinities. They've got two names. They believe that it's wrong to call the Father by the name of the Son and the name of the Son by the Father's name. And we know, according to John 5:43, that they had the same identical name, and the Son came in the Father's name. Yeah, but the Son's name is Yahshua. Well, is that the Father's name? No. He had a different name. Tell me where in the Bible that it says that the Father and Son had a different name. Now, I know it's foolishness. I know it's a great mystery. This is what Paul is talking about in the book of Romans, chapter 16, to mark them that cause divisions. And in 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, those things that are wisdom or things that seem right are the things that are not right, but the things that are foolish and the things that you've never heard of, unless there's a elder assembly, who are teaching the things that belongeth to them, that it's hidden from the world and the eyes of the wise. But, ladies and gentlemen, we preach the Messiah, and Yahweh hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things. And you have not received the spirit of the world, which is wisdom, but you received the spirit of foolishness, which is Yahweh. Because he chose the foolish thing. He knew that the world would go for the things of the world and the same right. So he just hid his gospel and truth in the simplicity, the foolish things, and then he appointed elders to reveal it to the assembly. And these elders who would dare teach foolish things as opposed to the things which are a carnal, that seem right. For are you not carnal? For whereas there is among you envy, strife, divisions, are you not carnal? But who hath known the mind of Yahweh that he might instruct him? But we have the mind of the Messiah. Now, if you don't have the mind of the Father, which is the Messiah in a flesh body, who's got the same name as the Father? I come in my Father's name. You won't receive me because you've been taught by the wisdom of the world to believe in another name. And there be no other name. By one name are you baptized into one body. The name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost is the same name, Yahweh. It's that simple. He's got no other names, although you people of wisdom try to apply and give him another name, a different name, other than the name that he chose from the foundation of the world. 6,823 times alone, his name. His name. And the minister indicates that he serves as a servant. The greatest among you will be servants. Now, why would elders want to gather around and become servants? Because they love Yahweh. Why would elders want to assemble together and teach the foolish things rather than the things of wisdom that impresses the world? He that loves the world, love of the Father is not in him. So if you're sitting under elders who believe foolish things and teach foolish things, like the Father's got one name, and the Son's got one name, and the Holy Ghost has got one name, and it's all the same, Yahweh. Yahweh the Father, Yahweh the Son, and Yahweh the Holy Ghost, and Yahweh is one, not Yahweh's two or three. See, this is division and confusion. And the elders won't let that happen. Our elders won't. They stand for one name. They baptize in one name. They teach in one name. They believe in the second Passover. They don't believe in the first Passover as a memorial because the Messiah didn't die in it. And they can prove it. And they'll teach you these foolish things if you'll listen. But see, you're not interested in listening to foolish things. You want great big swelling words. You want to be admired by men that you're some hot Johnny on the spot. You can say big long words and put them together in one sentence. That makes you somebody. You've been to a seminary teaching school. You've learned how to deceive with wisdom. That's what the devil done. The devil's got wisdom. The devil's got knowledge. The devil's cunning and he's crafty. And so is his ministers who love the wisdom of this world. Only a few of the elders love Yahweh and teach foolishness. Now, water baptism in the name of Yahweh? I never heard such a thing, Pastor Buddy. You mean you don't baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Yes, I do. But the foolishness of the matter is, the Father's not a name, the Son is not a name, and the Holy Ghost is not a name. And the wisdom of the matter is that the people that teach that the word Father is a name, and the Son is a name, and the Holy Ghost is a name. See, that seems right. Go out and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And so they run out and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and deceive people, and cause divisions. But elders who have sat down and studied know better.
They know what the name of the Father is. They know what the name of the Son is. And they know what the name of the Holy Ghost is. And they use it in water baptism for the remission of sins to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they teach it and stand for it and declare it, that there be no divisions in the simplicity of the foolish things that the Messiah himself chose. And say, oh, thanks, buddy. I just couldn't go along with that. Our church has been established since 1834, whatever. It doesn't matter how long a church has been established. It matters how the church is established and how it's operated and to whom would teach the foolish things as opposed to being in the same right way. Now, there's 14, probably 15 million Baptists, Southern Baptists. There's approximately a billion Catholics. And then, these are the Baptist is the largest Protestant denomination in the world. They baptize saying Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Catholic Church baptizes saying Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Methodist Church baptizes saying Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And so on and so on. The Church of the Nazarene, it goes on and on and on and on. And now we get over to some of the Pentecostals, and they figure this great mystery out. When they go over to Acts 2:38, they see that Peter baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And so they think they've got a revelation. And so they teach that the name should be Jesus as opposed to Jehovah or God or the Father or the Son or the Holy Ghost. It should be Jesus. Now, I got hung up in that 30 years. It took me 30 years to plow through that. But when the name came, the foolishness of his name, oh, man, what a revelation. Thank Yahweh that I sat in the assembly of the elders who were able, through maturity, through understanding, to preach the good things that was laid up for them that love and serve Him. The hidden things, the base things. That's why it's important to have good men under eldership. That's why that you should double honor them, because they watch for your soul. And they've sat in assemblies and they've reasoned together, they've prayed, they've fasted, they've earned the right to be called elders. Just like the Ruby woman, she's earned to have the stone of the ruby in her crown, because she herself honors her husband and the elders and encourages the children to learn from them. This is something that is teaching wisdom in the spirit, not wisdom in the world. To the world, it's foolishness. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to them that are saved, it is the power of God. And yet it wasn't a cross that he hung on. And when the elders sit down and tell you that, you think that the elders have lost their mind. That it was not a cross that he hung on, that it was a no rugged tree. And then they'll teach you the metaphors behind it. They'll teach you the symbolism of the wall, which is the why. So he hung in basically a symbol of his name, the wall, the why, the hallelujah, not a cross. He didn't die on the first Passover. Your elders will teach you that. He didn't have three different names or names many. He had name one name.
by one name, by one name, by one name, are you baptized into one body. And that one body has no schisms. It teaches and avoids the controversy or the wisdom of the world to sit and listen and train at the feet of foolish men who have come together with the unction of the Spirit that chose the foolish things and takes you out to an old-fashioned circle altar and lets you worship your Creator. Oh, you say, I never heard of such a thing. First Timothy chapter 5:17, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Preaching and teaching. It's more important to teach than it is to preach. Preach inspires, but teaching gives you understanding. And to teach the foolish things, to confound the wise. That's an elder. Praise Yahweh for elders. I'm so happy tonight that overseers must be obeyed by the other members. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your soul as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable unto you. Hebrews 13:17. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you, and that Yahweh hath given you instruction for whereby you should be saved. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. Now I urge you, brethren, and you know, as an example, the household of Stephanas, that they were the first fruits of Antioch, and that they have devoted themselves for the ministry of the saints, that you also be in subjection to such men and to everyone who helps in the work and the labors. Obey them that have rule over you. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. The elders who rule well should be counted worthy of double honor. For you shall not muzzle the ox while he's threshing or treading out the corn, and the labor is worthy of his wages. 1 Timothy 5:17. So if he watches for your soul, if he's praying for you, if he's fasting for you, if he's teaching you foolish things, you're so blessed. Acts 20, verse 28. Listen to this. Be on guard for yourselves and for the flock among which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of the living God, who hath purchased you with his own blood. The flock. The overseer. The shepherds. These are the shepherds that watch for your soul. You may not like what they say. It might sound foolish at times, but it'll be good for you if you let those who have authority over you. Wherefore, I exhort the elders among you, shepherds of the flock, proven to be examples. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, proven to be examples. An elder must rule well his own house. He should watch for your soul. He should be praying while you're sleeping. He should be figuring out the great mysteries of foolishness, like the lunar Sabbath, like the second Passover, which is the greatest revelation that you'd ever see, if you could see it. But there's those who are keeping the first one right now. Some have kept Easter back last month, thinking that was Passover. I taught against that. I give you the foolishness of how to keep the second Passover. I didn't teach you wisdom. It's foolish. Most of you never heard of it, like I said. And the elders that declare unto you the foolish things and confirm them with signs following. Titus chapter 1, listen to this one. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you might set in order what remains for the business that's appointed. And here I have appointed elders in every city as I directed you to do the same. And in Acts 14:23, and when they had appointed elders in every assembly, they prayed and fasted, and they commended them to Yahweh, to whom those who had believed. In Jerusalem, Acts 15:4. And when Paul and his party arrived at Jerusalem, they were received by the elders. Acts 15:2, 15:6, 15:22, 15:23, 16:4, and 21:18. In the church of Ephesus, Acts 20:17 through 28, Paul called to him the elders of the church. 1 Peter 5, therefore I exhort the elders among you by the laying on hands of the presbytery. 1 Timothy 4:14. 1 Timothy chapter 3, if any man aspires to be the office of an overseer, he deserves a good office. But he must be qualified and worthy of the mantle of an elder. Obey them that have rule over you. They watch for your soul. And when it was day, the council of elders of the people assembled both sides of the scribes, and they led him away to their council chamber. Luke 22:66. These are the elders of wisdom. We got to kill this man. We got to do away with him. He's evil. We can't have him talking among our people those foolish things that he comes up with. Where in the world did he get that he and the Father was the same one? Where in the world did he get that his name was Yahweh? Where in the world did he get that it was the second Passover that we should remember? Where in the world did he get that we should go on a circle altar of 12 stones and teach it to our people? There are four terms: elder, overseer, shepherd, and a steward. All of them watch for your soul. All of them are the same thing. All of them are entitled to have double glory. So love your elders. Pray for them, for they watch for your soul. Be on guard, because Satan, as a roaring lion, goeth about, seeking whom he may devour. You know how Satan works? He works in the middle of him. Yeah, he works in the minds of wisdom. That's where. See, Satan makes sense to people smart because he's smart. So when he gives them carnal logic, oh, they understand. And they jump right in there and believe it. But when an elder, you're sitting in front of elders and they are teaching you the foolish things to confound the wise, confound them. The wise says, I can't understand what them guys are all about. They don't make no sense. They don't to the devil or to the carnal mind. But to those who have passed from death unto life, those who have a right to the tree of life, those who have purposed in their heart to turn from their wicked ways to the foolish things of the world. Well, you're listening to Pastor Buddy tonight in the Shepherd's Call, and I'm so delighted to be with you tonight on the subject of the elders. They're special men. They're worthy of honor. They teach foolish things. You should sit and listen one of these days. It might begin to make spiritual sense.
Write me tonight, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. Now, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. You can call me, area code 423-626-2172. I'm sponsored by my good brother, Dr. Gary, at 1-877-289-7439 for Miracle 2 and for some of the products that we try to sell to defray the cost of our radio time. We appreciate if you could order Miracle 2 and things that we have to offer. If you could do that, just call 1-877-289-7439. Every penny goes to the broadcast. Or you could call Brother Paul, 1-800-253-2748. And I'll see you tomorrow night. Around the world on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel with the Shepherd's Call, Pastor Buddy. I love you. Hunt you up a good elder that knows the truth. And he can teach you some foolish things that might just save your soul. I'll see you tomorrow night around the world. And I love you.